The first reading today, St. Paul begins his second letter to the Corinthians by talking about suffering. What a great way to begin a letter to impress people. Obviously, these people were suffering a lot. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to begin the letter that way. But notice that he doesn't tell them that he feels sorry for them. Notice that he doesn't say, this is unjust, this is wrong, this is horrible. He talks about the fact that we all have to share in the suffering of Christ. He talks about the fact that it is through suffering, which again, this is something that might be a little strange for us to hear, but he says, as Christ's sufferings overflow through us, so does Christ's encouragement. If we are afflicted, it's for your encouragement and salvation. It's like, really? So suffering brings encouragement? That is not the way we naturally would think. But we look elsewhere in St. Paul as well as in St. Peter. We hear things about the fact that suffering brings endurance, and endurance brings patience, and so on. And so what we see is that the encouragement that's brought about is ultimately growth in virtue. And that's exactly what every last one of us needs. Other than Our Lady, every single person who has ever lived in the face of this earth needs to grow in virtue. So you and I aren't any different. Now, if we're going to grow in virtue, many of our virtues, most of our virtues, are only going to grow when we're suffering. There are a few that you don't need to suffer with in order to grow in a virtue, but most of them are going to grow only when you suffer. So, for instance, think about something like patience. How are you going to become patient unless you're put in situations where you have to practice it? And then when you start becoming pretty good at being patient, then what needs to happen? Well, you have to be put in a more difficult situation where you're going to be tested more severely. The same is true with regard to anger. The same is true charity, go right down the line. In this case, St. Paul is talking about encouragement, but he also talks about God not only as the God of encouragement, but the Father of compassion. Remember, the word compassion means to suffer with. The only people who can be compassionate are the people who have suffered. And so if God wants us to be compassionate, if he wants us to be able to encourage others, and we would encourage them simply because we see the good that comes from the suffering. It's not just simply encouraging them to be able to survive whatever it is they're suffering, but to know that God brings good out of evil, to know that virtue is going to follow. But again, only somebody who's been through it can understand that. That's why St. Paul tells us that his suffering is for our encouragement. Because we can look at it, we can read what St. Paul talks about, we can see what God did in his life. And as miserable as some of those things were, remember, even when he went into Macedonia, it was so horrible they thought they were going to die. He said they had despaired of life itself. But he said God did not abandon us. God is right there in the midst of your suffering. Problem for us is that we don't recognize him there. We feel like he's abandoned us. We come before him and we beg him for help, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. That's because of our state, not because of what God's doing or not doing. He's giving us the grace that we need. But again, you have to understand, if God wants you to grow in virtue, which is exactly what he wants, he's not going to give you an overabundance of grace so that the suffering doesn't cause you any difficulty. Because then you don't need any virtue, or you're not going to grow in virtue anyway. So he will give you just barely enough to be able to make it. Again, we get frustrated at that. The example I've used over the years is to say, all right, you're driving your car. Jesus is in the passenger seat and he's got the wallet. And you're running on empty. In fact, you're so empty that now the car is sputtering and you're running on fumes. You've got just barely enough to pull into that gas station that's right there. And you roll up to the pump, and the Lord pulls out the wallet and he says, put in a dollar's worth. It's like, no, we're empty. He said, right, put in a dollar's worth. It's like, no, but we can, I mean, gas is $3.50 a gallon. I mean, we're not gonna go very far on a dollar. He said, here's the dollar, put in a dollar's worth. You put in the dollar's worth, you don't go very far, pretty soon you're sputtering again. But it was just barely enough to get to the next gas station, where he gives you another dollar or two, depending on what you need to get to the next one. Finally, after that happens a while, he gives you 10 bucks, and you think, whoa, we're doing all right. We got a quarter of a tank here. That's because there's not a gas station for a long time because you're going out into the desert. And so he gave you just enough to get to the next gas station. He wants you to trust. And he wants you to recognize that he will indeed provide what you need, not necessarily what you want. He doesn't make it easy because he wants you to grow in holiness and in virtue. It's the way it works. And when you see how that works, guess what you're able to do? Encourage other people in their suffering because you've seen how he works in yours. And you're able to be compassionate with those people because you've suffered through it and now you can walk through it with them, which you wouldn't have been able to do if you hadn't been through it yourself. Now, sort of like the car example, we kind of sputter along and we make all kinds of noise and we complain and whine and groan and moan and everything else. And my goodness, you'd think we were being, it's martyrs in the other sense of the term martyr. We think we're martyrs because, oh, look at me, nobody's ever suffered as much as me, and isn't this horrible, and blah, blah, blah. All the stupidity that comes out. But it's only, again, by going through that, that we see how pathetic and how weak we really are. And once we recognize that, then we can work on that. That's exactly what he's doing. So he doesn't waste it. In fact, that suffering is a participation in the suffering of Christ, not only to make you a saint, but as St. Paul says, it's for the good of others, to bring about their conversion, to bring about their salvation. So he doesn't waste it. In fact, he brings great good out of it. If we will cooperate, if we will trust, God will do wonderful things in our lives.